Hello everyone, welcome to the Shir and Mishnah, learning Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Baruch Min Zavel and Parabas Pinchas, rolling above Mitzia Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches, says as follows. Hamachir Bayis HaChaver L'Shana, one who rents out a house to someone else for a year, that's their deal. Nisabra HaShana, Nisabra L'Socher. If the year becomes an Ibra year, meaning they add a second Adar, which back in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, that was done on a year-by-year basis. It wasn't a set calendar. If they saw the need to push Pesach later into the year to make sure it was in the spring, they would add a second Adar. So if that happened after they made this deal, it could be they made the deal far before. So Nisabra L'Socher, the year has become elongated, has been added onto for the renter. And the renter gets that year. He'll end up getting 13 months out of his year of rental. Hiskir lo l'chadashim. But if he rented it to him by month, at that point, if the year becomes an Ibra year, becomes a year that's a leap year, a second Adar, so that will be gained by the owner, by the renter, or the person who's renting it out, because it was per month. It had nothing to do with the definition of the year and how many months were involved in that year. There was a story that happened in Tzipori. One person rented a bathhouse from his friend. And the deal they made was kind of unclear. They said it'll be 12 pieces of gold for the year, dinar of zahav for the month. Now, what does that mean? He said 12 of them for the year and one per month. That indeed is equal, but our case, right, where the year became an Ibra year is apparently what happened. They added a second other. What do you do? And according to the first expression that he made, it should be that he paid for a whole year, and this month would be included in that. He would get to rent that included in the deal. And according to the second expression, it was per month. It would go to the masker, to the owner. This story came in front of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lifnei Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi. But Amar, they both said, they have to split that added month, the second other. So that would mean either he would take it for half the time, or it would mean he'd have to pay half the price for it. But that's what they decided. So it says the Rav here, Nisabra L'Socher, the case where he's paying by year and the year gained a month, so it goes to the Socher. Lo Yar B'Lo Sar Chodesh, he can't increase for him payment for a month. She'ibur B'Chal Shana, the extra part of the year, the Ibor is included in the year, and that was the deal they made. Then the Mishnah said the other way around, if they paid per month, the deal was per month, so it went to the Masker. And then we brought this story, Maisa B'Tzipor. The Gemara Parich, the Gemara asks on this story, Maisa Listor, that this Maisa is against what was taught previously in the Mishnah, Maisa Listor. It's a Maisa that goes against the Haresha Tana, O Kula de Socher, Kula de Masker. In the Resha, there are only two options. Either the whole of the second other will be in the hands of the Socher, his rent free, or in the hands of the Masker to charge for it to take it back. Maisa, the Achlok, and then the Maisa is bringing that they split it. So why would you do that? Mishani, Chasuri Mechzer, Achiyatani. So the answer the Gemara brings is that there's something lacking in the Mishnah, Chasuri Mechzer, and should say it's like this. If he said to him both expressions, he said to him 12 gold pieces per the year and then one of them for the month, yachloku. Then they have to split that extra month should it happen. Because the Mishnah, in stating that, didn't actually state it, but that missing part of the Mishnah, would be holding that we don't know whether you should go by the first expression or the second expression. Being that we have that doubt, they would have to make a compromise in the middle. And then it brings this story in Tzipori. Halach is actually not like this, though. So halach is that you go after the least of the expressions, meaning to say the one that is the least obligating of them. The karka becheskas marat kaima, because when it comes to land, we hold that it always stays in the chazaka, in the domain of the original owner. He has it. So similar to the fact we had expressed in Bava Kama. Also, it's impossible to steal land. So karka, land, is always in the domain of the original owner. Therefore, we hold in this case, yeah, of making this two-pronged statement about a deal and then the year becoming a leap year, but actually go entirely to the owner. Yeah, bein shahai loshen rishon pachos, bein shahai loshen acharon pachos, right? Whether or not the first loshen was the least of them, meaning the first loshen being the statement per month, or the second loshen, doesn't matter what order he said. You would say that the maskir is only obligated 12 months, not the 13th month. Says Mishnah Tess, a maskir buys a chaver of a nafal. A person rents out a house to someone else, and the house fell down. Chayev lahami lo bayis. He is obligated to stand up for him another house. Hayakotin lo yisenu gadol. If the original house was small, he should not make it larger. Gadol lo yisenu katin. If it was large, he shouldn't make it any smaller. Echa lo yisenu shnayim. If it was one complex, one building, he shouldn't, he can't make two, split that space in half. Shnayim lo yisenu echa. And also, if it was two structures, he can't make it into one. Lo yifkos me'echalonos v'losifalem. He can't take away any of the windows that were there. He can't add any of them. Elamidash shnayim. All these things seemingly have to be of the das of both of them, and they have to agree to such changes. So what's going on here? Says the Rav, Chaim ahami lo bayis, the mate skiyosim. That meant a case of renting in a house, right? So what does it mean to build up a house? You don't have to. You're not giving him a house. It means you have to provide for him another house for that time of rental. Haigadol yisenakotem v'chulin. So the Rav elaborates on the case. V'hu, the case is the hera lo bayis. He showed him a house. Yeah, the owner showed him. I guess he owns a number of houses, or he's managing a number of houses. Shows him a house. V'amar lo bayis kazani maskir l'cho. A house like this, I am renting to you. But if the case would be that he stood him by a house, and he says, I'm renting not a house like this one, but this one. This exact house is what I'm renting to you. And it fell. He has no obligation to build a house at all, because we both agree that you're renting this house, and then the house fell down. So that opportunity is gone now. I suppose they'll have to make a deal that give him back some of the money per month, or he won't, obviously won't pay him for the rest of the time. I imagine. Rob does not say that explicitly, but seemingly if the house fell down, perhaps it would be dependent on if they could discover how the house fell down and why, to see who would have to pay for that, if anybody. If the case was, he said to him, I'm renting you a house. And at that point, he's only obligated to rent him any other thing that's called a house. Doesn't matter if it's big or small. Because the deal was, I'm renting you a house. There was no other further stipulation, what type of house or anything like that. Seder. So that's Mishnah Tes. Now we'll go on to the ninth perek. Perek Chi, ninth perek, Mishnah Aleph. Hamakabel Sada Mechaver, one who literally accepts a field from his friend. We'll see in the Rav, this refers to different types of deals that they had at that time, and I think there are such deals now today, that you have a person who owns a field, and he doesn't want to work it, and needs someone to work it, so he will give that field over to the control of someone else, who will do all the work in the field, and that person will then have to pay a certain percentage of the produce or a certain set amount of the produce to the owner of the field for that, and the person will be able to keep the rest of the produce that comes from it. So it ends up a good deal for everybody. So the Mishnah is talking about such a thing, kablanos hamakabel, one who accepts a field from his friend. Mekom shenagel liksor, if we're in a place where the meaning is that he will reap, meaning who takes care of all the particular actions. So if we're in a place where the one who accepted the field, we call him the sharecropper, he is the one that has to reap the produce, yiksor, then he should do it. Va'akor, yakor. If he is the one that uproots bad produce, then he should do that. Va'achrosh, achrov, yachrosh. If he plows afterwards, it's a way of, I think, after you put in the seeds, if I'm not mistaken, then you turn around the dirt, the soil, to get the seeds in there. It could also be that people plowed beforehand. Such a thing comes up in Hilchos Shabbos about when plowing happened. It was before Zareah or after. Hakol k'minhag medina. Everything will go like the minhag. Whatever is normal that the sharecropper does, that he's responsible for, therefore he does that. K'shem shechol k'matavu k'chol k'batevin v'akash. The same way that there's going to be a division here of the produce, as I described, so too will be a division of the straw. Tevin and kash, I think, are both types of straw. Perhaps one is straw and one is chaff. They're both not the main part of the produce, or secondary item that comes out from the ground. Shem Chachokim Mayayin, the same way that they divide wine, if, let's say, not a field, they rented out to him, he gave him to work a wine vat, a wine press. They would divide up the wine. Kachokim Bizmaros Vakonim. So too, they'll divide up the twigs, the pieces of wood that the vines grew on. Vakonim, kanim are the things that you keep the wine in. Usually a kana is a reed, but I think over here it means whatever containers you keep the wine in. And then both of them provide kanim, both of them provide new containers in which to put the wine. So the Rav elaborates over here. A makabel saw that one is accepting a field. Ba'arisus, that means sharecropping, this concept we described. Lamex l'shishalirviya, that would be to give, to only keep half the produce, to give a third of it, to give a fourth of it, whatever deal they made, how what percentage he'll be able to keep, what percentage he has to give to the owner. Oh, the chakirus, or chakirus, which I don't know if there's a difference in English in calling it sharecropping, probably also be true, but that refers to not a percentage-based deal, but a quantity-based deal. Kach v'kach korin l'shana. He will pay him this many kor, and the kor is a measurement of produce. You have 30 saw, if you remember, per year. So that's a set amount. Won't matter if the field only made a little bit, then he'll have to give away very much of his produce. If the field made a lot, then he'll be able to keep a lot. So kind of a pro and a con to each type of deal. So in any event, whatever the deal was, we said different actions. If it's normal for the sharecropper to do it, then he does it. Machrosh achra, if one of them is to plow after him, doesn't mean achra ksira, meaning to say, this is after you reap the previously grown produce, ohakira, or uprooted things. This is something done after the whole process in order to get rid of the roots of bad grass, then they should die. That way you kill off all the bad grass that grew. So it's not something at every place they would do that, but if so, if it's on the sharecropper to do it, then he doesn't. Okay, then we said if it's in a wine vat, so they're going to divide up the zmoros, which are branches, with a kanim. I see over here that one pshat in kanim, it could be aside from containers, but it could mean the smocha shesomchim mehem, it's like a fun, I'm just reading a different parish here, that refers to, I guess it does mean reeds, it refers to poles that were needed to keep up the gefunden. Rob also learns that way. They hold up the vine. So I take it back. I apologize. It wasn't vessels or something like that as I thought that it meant. Apparently, in this mission, at least, it means things that hold up the vines. And they both provide those poles. Matam Amar. Saying, what is the reason? Matam Chokim Akonim. Why do they divide such poles? Because they both provided them. Being that they both provided them initially, both the person that's going to work the wine vat and the person that owns it, so they'll take them back equally, which makes sense. Thank you very much for listening. We'll continue.